This episode is being recorded out of Shop Talk Podcast Studio in Oak Park, Michigan. For more information, visit shoptalkpodcaststudio.com.
Well, well, well. Ladies and gentlemen, what up, though? Favorite podcast is back in the building. Y'all already know what it is. Welcome back. Episode 372 of This Week in Culture. I'm your host, Ant Wood, a.k.a. Trinidad Ant, a.k.a. one half of the culture. And I ain't got no can with me, but y'all know what it is. When y'all hear that can crack, that mean your man back. And I got my brother with me, Jay. What up, though?
What up, though? It's your man, Jay Johnson, one half of the culture, one half of everything. What's popping?
This week, we back. Y'all know what it is. Another one of them BMF reviews. Before we get to it, I want to thank the listeners, the supporters, everybody rocking with us week to week. I want to thank all the Patreon subscribers. Without y'all, we wouldn't be who we are, even though we was us for like 4.5, 5 years before we set up the Patreon. But still, y'all make us better, man. Appreciate the Patreon
you make me
folks.
Better.
Shout out to the new Patreon subscribers as well. All love over there. Hope y'all enjoy that additional content. More of that coming. BMF, episode 6.
Man, they ruined a
man.
Air quotes. Perfectly good episode.
Man, air quotes, I actually think good. This is the worst acted episode of the series. I didn't like nobody's acting in this shit. Only person I liked in this shit was Wanda telling T to fuck off because I know you was with that bitch. Your cook gave you up already. That was the best delivered line of the whole episode. This shit was terrible. I'm Rob Silver this week, dog. I'm so fucking annoyed. It's like this shit jumped a shark 3 times an episode at this point, bro. They just do shit for nothing. Like, it'd be for no good reason. Bro, why would Bryant push this nigga in the fucking grave?
That's crazy.
Bro, hold up. We've talked about this. I think me and you might be the only two people to even, like, point out that, yo, I don't know what they doing with, like, Terry's character on the show, but they got this nigga looking real sunned right now, right? So we talk about this shit when it's instances where, you know, maybe him and Meech kind of clash, or him and the plug clash, or maybe he ain't really got his girls in control, and they just be having him look kind of bitchy on here, dog. Not real life Terry, not Southwest. This ain't Southwest that I'm watching on TV, bro. But there's no way that the co-founder of BMF got pushed into a fucking 6-foot grave that was meant for one of his mans. They was at his man's funeral. He got pushed into a grave. Then Bryant kicked dirt on the nigga, bro. And all them niggas did was touch they fucking waistbands like I got it on me.
Yeah.
Fam.
That's not happening, dog.
What's the point of having it on you if you're going to let your fucking boss, your leader, the nigga that runs this ship, get pushed in a grave and then dirt kicked on him? And y'all just touched y'all straps. Like, yo, hey, Bryant, I wouldn't do that. He already did it.
Nigga look helpless.
Bro, I've never seen them make this nigga look more like a bitch than they did in this moment, dog. This shit was horrible, dog. How the fuck did... I wouldn't even... Fuck that he the leader of the crew. I wouldn't even let my man get done like that, bro. And nobody did nothing? Ain't nobody even go check on him and, like, reach in the grave to pull him up, nigga. They just stood there with their hands on the strap. And Bryant stood there like, do something, nigga.
I don't get it.
I've never seen no shit like this. In the history of drug cartels, I've never seen one of the leaders get bitched out like this publicly and nobody does nothing. And then he never referenced the shit again for the rest of the episode. It was like it didn't happen. It was like, yeah, nah. None of his niggas was like, hey, you remember earlier when you got pushed in that grave? Everybody just pretended this shit didn't happen, dog. Like, so much so that I ain't even seeing nobody talk about it on the internet. Like, Southwest T got pushed in the grave. Come on, man. Stop playing with me, BMF. Y'all playing. Yo, this show is so unserious, I don't know if this is satire or not. Like, at this point, it feel like satire, bro.
If I'm Southwest T in real life,
I need to talk to stars.
I feel like y'all playing with me, though.
Come on, man. Like, I get it. Meech was the, you know, the boisterous one and the one with all the quotables and all that shit. He was louder than me. I get it. But y'all not finna make me look like this on TV, dog. I had the same problem that what's his name had with B. Mickey being a snitch. Like, whoa, 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 nigga, that didn't happen. Like,
yeah, that ain't happen, my friend.
Like, we gotta talk, nigga. Like, I get y'all got creative control over this story y'all telling, but wait a minute, bro. Fuck that little disclaimer in the front that say maybe this happened, maybe it didn't, but it probably did. Nah, nigga, that ain't enough. At the end, put another disclaimer that say, Southwest T said, I never got pushed in a grave, nigga.
Yo, what if you did? Maybe that's when he was like, I gotta get bigger. They call that nigga Big Me. Gotta get bigger, because like.
Oh, shit. Big T? Holy shit.
Talk to him, Big T. Talk.
Dog, I'm fucking, I was disgusted right from the beginning of the episode. Also mad confused at why Meech and them was at the little boy funeral in Atlanta when it was literally his man from that Atlanta crew. I get that they pretended that nigga was from Detroit, even though he talked Southern as hell and had all his fucking teeth grilled out. But Meech, this was your nigga. Like, why y'all not up here at his funeral? Like, Terry met this nigga one time, and he got killed the same night I met him, bro. Like, this ain't my man. I wouldn't be here mourning like that.
It's weird.
It's just not a thing, dog. Then I'm like, y'all ain't had no funeral for the rapper? Just a little boy, huh? That was it.
Nigga, we had a smoke session back at his studio.
I was like, are they smoking his ashes? Like, I didn't know how to. That nigga raised a blunt and was like, Detroit. And I'm like, all right, I don't know. I don't know what's happening on this show, dog. Again, BMF is a very unserious show. They continue to jump the shark. And I continue to watch because apparently people are watching this shit. And I don't know if niggas just hate watching. I know some of y'all really enjoy this shit. But this episode was just, this was out of control. Like, it was so much, man.
Yeah, I fell into a power BMF group. And niggas really fuck with this shit.
It's insane to me, dog.
But then, like, I can tell niggas really fuck with it, but, like, some of the people was like, yo, why she licked the
fam? She licked from the fucking.
Now, normally, that's a great way to start off a conversation.
She licked.
But this one is not.
She licked from the butt of the flamethrower to the fucking barrel. She went butt to barrel, nigga. Butt to barrel, dog. Like, what the fuck was, fam? And her tongue was white. I don't, like, come on, son.
Ashy tongue.
Like, I just told y'all on my Facebook, like, you don't have to do, like, stick your tongue out if your tongue not pink. Like, you could put it back in your mouth. And if you took the picture with your tongue out and you noticed it was white, just untake the picture. Like, the picture don't got to go online, bro. And this did not have to come to fucking TV, dog. Why did she lick? Why did he stand there for all this? She called that nigga name and wasn't even out the car yet. Hey, Diz. And that nigga was like, yo, Henry, is that you? That's you coming from around the side of your car?
I didn't know what was. So when they was, when he went to go talk to her.
Yeah.
To basically smooth shit out.
Mm-hmm.
I seen my man looking weird. I thought he was about to turn on him.
I didn't know what Terry and him faces were.
Like, he didn't. I don't. Whatever face they told him to make,
yeah,
he didn't make it. He didn't accomplish that goal.
This is where acting comes in, right? Because I don't know. Because I'm like, all right, clearly you and Terry know, but she knows that y'all know each other.
Yeah.
Like, she stole you from Terry as your plug, nigga. So she's aware of y'all's relationship. So why y'all doing the funny look shit? Like, yeah,
are y'all fucking? Like,
it was very awkward, and I'm glad they at least acknowledged that her and the cousin seen that. Like, bro, they was looking weird as shit in the corner for nothing. Like, Terry came down, and what you think about that move? Terry trying to make peace.
Smart thing to do. What else? I mean, what else can you do? It's like, yo, we losing too much money.
Terry told LaWanda, yo, man, I've been to 5 funerals in the last week. I'm tired. I just got pushed in a grave. Like,
it's crazy.
Yo, you can't tell your girl you got pushed in a grave. You cannot tell your girl that. Especially LaWanda. She already be going off on this nigga anyway. Like, you tell your girl you got pushed in a grave, the pussy's done. You're not getting it no more.
So remember last week when I was explaining that Bryant can't go to his homeboy and tell on his daughter? Because you're going to look like you weak as hell. That's how Terry looked. Like I went to your daughter
trying to talk peace,
and she said no. Then I come to you, and he like, my nigga, I respect you for coming and all the other good shit, yeah. But like,
and I'm a holler at her, but you look like a hoe.
And even with Bryant, he like, yo, she killed my, you know, she the reason my son dead. Yeah, but nigga, you can't kill my daughter.
And see, that's why I think that combo would have been more effective before your son got killed, and then you ran up in that bitch on some Denzel and Equalizer shit. Because now I can't help you because you here to kill my daughter. Like, before this, I could have did the same shit I did with Terry where, hey, I can at least talk to her. Whether she listens, I got zero control over that. My daughter's an insane person. But come holla at me. I could talk to her. Maybe cooler heads prevail. I don't know. But Terry went to holla at her. It didn't work. She pulled her sword out and stomped it in the floor on, like, in front of that nigga feet. Why she keep doing this shit with this sword, bro?
Like, this was the ridiculous.
Yeah.
But this was the most regular she acted for the episode. And it wasn't regular.
It wasn't.
But
it
this
wasn't.
Was the most.
Because then she turned it up. And I can call her she. In real life, the actress or actor is they, them. On the show, she. Mm-hmm. And they've said she. So I can do that. I studied this. So shout out to any listener who would care. I'm so not convinced by her, though. Like, the Henry character. I'm not.
I guess my issue.
They keep telling me she crazy.
I guess my issue with this show is they not selling no drugs.
Well, no. When they do have to sell drugs, they sell it in 24 hours, and they sell 250 bricks.
And because they're not selling any drugs, not that we need to see the drug selling portion, but like, this is a show about a drug crew, mm-hmm. and they run. They're not selling drugs. They're mm-hmm. not showing how sophisticated they are. They're not showing anything. Like, it's all dialogue and going back and forth.
Yeah.
And the dialogue isn't engaging. The characters aren't very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like it's lost its way. And
100%.
If you're not going to show me drug selling, oh, how much you getting off and how it's doing it or whatever, then what's the point?
Yeah. You bring up a really good point about the sophistication of their operation, right? The thing about BMF, they were being investigated a very long time. They evaded the fucking cops and the feds for as long as they did because they had a very sophisticated operation, right?
And do you know what the sophistication of the operation was?
It was a lot of shit. It wasn't just one thing.
But it was one major thing. Roughly four niggas knew what was going on.
Also a fact.
Right. Also and everybody fact. Else, y'all doing your, like, yeah. It's only a certain amount of, like, four to six people.
Everybody had a job. The four people, four to six, to your point, at the top, that knew what was happening were the only ones who knew what everybody else's job was. Everybody else just did their job.
Like me say a bunch of times, and a couple of people said, like, we pay niggas the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Soho, I know the police is watching me. So here, you and BMF.
Yeah.
Here's money. Yep. Go crazy in the strip club so they'll waste their investigation and their resources chasing y'all, and y'all don't know nothing for real.
Yep.
So it's so many niggas who swore they was BMF. You probably was.
Yeah.
But you wasn't doing nothing.
You had a chain. You was Mace on Rockefeller. Or in G-Unit. You had a chain. But.
And then like the people that you was buying drugs from or whatever. You didn't know that they was. Like you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was insulated. Granted. We ain't had to get y'all on. Trafficking.
Yeah.
We get all you niggas on conspiracy.
Yeah.
We know something's going on.
Yeah. Cause you ain't just make that money appear. Y'all niggas ain't magicians. Yo, man. Speaking of magicians, that nigga name tag said Meech talk very ventriloquisty. And I laugh. Cause he do talk like a fucking ventriloquist, dog. Like that nigga said You no longer in my circle of trust.
So, I was so disappointed by that Angel, whole thing.
What the fuck just happened?
Like,
Angel said, hey, yo, Meech, you really leaving? Yeah, Angel, I gotta go. I'm gonna come with you. Nah, I ain't bringing nobody with me. Well, what I'm supposed to do now, you know I ain't got nobody. Look, Angel, I believe
don't
in
be,
you.
Don't be strong. Don't be mad if I don't wait for you.
You know what? Even though that comment was also very random and like a weird response to me telling you, you strong, I know you're going to make it, you're going to be okay. Don't follow up, don't be mad if I don't wait on you with, I hear Glock pays well.
Bitch, pay well to do what?
Bitch, did you hear Glock shot up the projects? The whole projects?
But what does Glock pay well to do?
Strip.
You already work in a strip club. Like, what does he pay well to do? You just started informing for me.
Yo.
I just started this shit.
Literally earlier today. like you just clocked in.
What do you mean?
And, yo.
And them niggas don't got no work.
That nigga said, what? You really going to say that after all the things that Glock put us through? You never been loyal. You no longer in my circle of trust.
Yeah.
Dog.
I feel like they should have just got somebody other than Meech to play Meech.
It put too much pressure on him, dog.
They also, thinking. Like, the little bro or the second in command to old boy.
Who Duffy?
To met him in the diner and shit.
Oh, Remy Ransom, man. Claude. Yeah.
I don't know what's up with Claude, but like all these people were reading their lines.
Yo, Claude. So he hadn't said much up until this episode, right? Nothing that Remy Ransom is such a bad actor that Claude's little one or two lines never made me think anything other than like, all right, he decent. He did his part. Today he was giving like sentences, bro. And
if I'm being real, season two, no. Season three is the worst product that Starz has ever put out.
Yeah, this is really bad TV.
As far as like acting and everything, I've watched some no shade BET Plus programming. That don't look like the top of the line shit, but the acting is way better.
Yeah.
What's the one? It's like a guy and his sister. Them niggas.
Were they out in L.A. killing kidnappers?
Yeah, and it was like had some girls on the ground and some kids on the ground. Shit.
What the fuck is the name of that show? They the twins.
And apparently it's been on for some years.
Oh, nigga, me and Shorty watch this shit all the time. That's on That comes on All Black.
So like it randomly popped up on my Fire Stick a couple episodes. I really fucking hate this. So like in the episodes section, randomly something to be there, and then it won't be all of them. You know what I'm saying?
It'll just be the one.
I'm like, what the fuck? So I watch. I'm like, it's not NBC.
Yeah,
but like, listen, they acting though.
Look, me and Shorty have watched that show. Hold on, let me look, because one of my actual, one of my homeboys, he's good friends with the sister. And I remember when he posted something with her, I'm like, yo, that's Shorty from the show, me and Shorty watch. Like, and like, they're cool as fuck, her and the brother and shit. Cool. I told my homeboy, I'm like, yo, tell them, like, me and my lady watch their show. We fuck with it. This was like maybe season three. Nigga, they sent a little vid, like, hey, thanks.
Like, it don't gotta be super duper high. And when I say it don't gotta be high, this don't look bad at all.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like TV for sure, right? But, like, that is so much well acted. And for people I know, that's not
Double cross. There you go.
Like, everybody and all the extras in there, they just acting better.
Yeah.
And over here, this seemed like some DE&I shit that's going on where everybody about to get on. It's like everybody decides to turn something into a fucking hustle.
Yeah.
And I can actually just get some actual actors.
Yeah.
Like, just get some action. Because this not, it's not good. I mean, as far as, like, I ain't been coming up here and killing it every week.
Yeah,
but like,
you've been very diplomatic about BMF.
But, like, When I think about all the series that I've watched on Starz before, yeah, this season specifically is the worst product that's been placed out.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean this is absolutely horrible? I'm just telling you, if they lined them all up and ranked them from quality and audio, mm-hmm, and acting, this is the last one. Maybe all of them is, maybe everything that Starz has put out gets an average of 6.
Yeah.
But all that, this the last one. Whatever it is, this the last one.
So to your point about Double Cross, I like that you brought that up and that you've seen that. So I can make a statement that we both might understand, right? So Double Cross is an entertaining show. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you this is the greatest acting I've ever seen. I'm not going to say, but like Double Cross, when I watch that and I cut it on All Black, that's a great All Black show. When I cut a show on Starz, I don't expect to see an All Black type of show. And I say that acknowledging that I enjoy Double Cross, right? But like same thing, we talk about Tubi, we talk about BT Plus. When I cut on Starz, I'm not expecting a BT Plus type of show or a Tubi type of show with that level of acting, right? I expect a higher budget, better quality, better production, better direction, better acting, a better script. Y'all have money.
That white lady got up there and said they created this character to be better, or like Lamar Jr., mm-hmm, basically. That's a bad idea. You that means you don't respect this audience at all.
No, you don't know this audience. My problem with that, when you sent me that video of the showrunner saying, like, yo, we created Henry literally to be crazier than Lamar. Like, everybody loved Lamar. Now that he's gone, we needed a crazier character. So, because I've had people online ask me, was this a real person? Mm-mm, this is a created character. And that was the problem. Lamar was not created. Lamar was based on a real person. And 99.9% of the shit he did on this show, he did in real life, nigga. This was nothing that you needed to think of or come up with. Because when you're sitting in a room and you're trying to brainstorm ideas, that's where you say, hey, let's have her walk out the car with a... Fam, she got out the car already wearing a flamethrower. You can't sit in a car with a flamethrower on your back.
You know what?
It's not a thing.
This going neck and... Now, listen. P-Valley? It's down on the list, too. But season 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know they stole season 1 from Old Girl.
Facts.
And it was already put together.
Your idea ran out.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so season 2 got worse than season 1, and season 3 was worse than season 2. That's exactly what's going on with BMF. And it's a very similar situation.
But you know what the difference is? The separator?
No.
The acting.
That. But like season 1 of BMF, we know who wrote it. We know, mm-hmm, who's doing it. Season 2, they wasn't there.
Nope.
Season 3, it got even worse.
Yep. Because now the person who created and or not created, but who developed season 2, the new showrunner, once we came back for season 3, now she officially in her bag, right? But her bag is
nasty bag.
It's a disgusting bag. And it's telling us, we're seeing every day or every week, that her bag doesn't understand the audience that she has, right? It's a white woman. A black man from Detroit created this show and was the showrunner for season 1. White woman has done the previous 2 seasons.
I don't think that is, they don't understand the demographic. They don't care. They don't respect it. You niggas want to be, and I'm saying niggas not in the general term, but as a pejorative.
Yeah.
You niggas is going to sit back and be entertained with foolishness because that's what I'm giving you. Put your white gloves on and your jazz hands, basically. Because, like, what is this character?
Bro,
let's make her LGBTQ too.
Oh, we know why they did that. So it's funny, I actually seen one of my homegirls, I don't know if she listens to the pod or not, but I seen her. She may be a lesbian or maybe bi. She might, I know she identifies somewhere within the LGBTQ plus, right? She might be bisexual. Pardon me, that ain't my business. But that said, I saw her on Facebook kind of making a case, like, for everybody saying that the lesbians back in the 90s didn't act like Henry and didn't look like that. I could name however many she said in her status that acted like that and looked like that and da da da. So all I said on the comment was, but were they the daughter of a crooked cop who ran a large drug cartel who was trying to take down BMF. Because I was like, I'm not saying that there weren't lesbians who looked or even acted like Henry does. Her character is unnecessary, dog.
No.
The character is fucking unnecessary.
I don't know a man. I don't know a person who acts like Henry.
Oh, I ain't talking about the flame.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, think about how ridiculous this character is if it was a man. The character is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yes, I can say that there wasn't a lesbian. And I can tell you that because there wasn't even a person to act like this.
I don't give a fuck if there was. It ain't necessary for BMF. The shit don't fit in the show. And that was the point I was trying to have in my discourse with the homie. Because I'm like, what does Henry have to do with this? You remember when we talked about season 3 and 4 of The
Shy?
How
old is your homegirl?
She our age.
Like older or younger than you?
Shit. She 40-something, might be 41. Yeah. But definitely like in our range.
But this was 1993. So she was what, 10? Fuck you know about what niggas was looking like.
I don't give a fuck if she had a map of all the lesbians.
I'm sorry, that sound too aggressive.
No.
I'm
but
sorry,
like,
that sound too
the
aggressive.
Character, no one can convince me, because I grew up in the 80s and 90s around drugs. You might have grown up in the 80s and 90s around LGBTQ people, and shout out to that. I grew up around drugs, my nigga.
Same.
Whether somebody was gay or not had no relevance on the dope dealing that was going on, nigga. And to Jay's point from earlier, they not doing enough dope dealing right now. These niggas is trying to tell stories.
So, girls sold drugs.
Facts.
Were they bosses? Who knows?
It was a couple. Shout out to Jermika out of L.A.
But I'll use another fictional story.
Mm-hmm.
That was based upon truth at one point. Look how they play auntie.
Mm.
We ain't respect you, nigga. We was like, I don't. Because like the last person that's going to talk, that care about your fucking rights or your fucking pronouns is niggas in the streets.
Man.
Like the worst type of niggas.
Yeah.
Like we don't give a fuck.
They don't give a fuck. Nigga, they don't see you as nothing.
I'm looking for a reason.
Yeah.
To rob and, man, I don't know.
Also. Cause this here's the thing, yo. Don't let the unnecessariness of Henry make y'all think that that's where my hate train stops. I'm going through all this shit. You brought up Claude, Remy Ransom, right hand man. This your man. Yo, we go back to elementary school. I known him my whole life. You was that quick to turn on this nigga? Like that? You ready to take him out from the inside? Cause Meech said. Yo, I got better work. What?
No, well, they did a horrible job at this, but I peeped it. They tried to lay the groundwork from that conversation.
A couple weeks ago, yeah.
About, nigga, you about to kill the whole fucking hood? He was like, yo, he got a point.
He said, yo, you going to the mattress? Who is writing this shit, dog?
Where the doji? Where's the doji? Cause that's when they was going to the mattresses.
Yo,
not in 93.
Yo, you going to the mattress? Like, dog, I was sitting there like, what the fuck is happening?
He actually went to the
mattress. Yo, this nigga Remy Ransom eyes is never close. He don't blink. He don't do shit, nigga. He ain't slept in years, nigga. Yo, and it's fucked up because
he got no growth and new growth at the same time. Yo, why do he look like, how old is he supposed to be?
50-teen. You 50-teen, nigga. Yo, bro. First of all, Remy Ransom, you have no plan at all. But Claude, your plan ain't great. What is the Haitians doing right now?
Yeah, this be my issue. With some niggas that we still have in the streets right now. You think you a noble drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
You think somehow, because you can get other people from your town to sell your friends and family drugs, you're better. because we're come from Atlanta. Let's get all the Atlanta people together and have them sell drugs and destroy their own community versus letting somebody from Miami do it or somebody from Detroit do it. Y'all acting, they standing on this thing like they're trying to take care of the community, take care of the hood. Yeah. My nigga, you just had a motherfucking kid shot with a motherfucking Uzi.
Literally.
Holding a Uzi. In front of you, the father said it's your fault. You look like it impacted you. And the first thing you do is saying, let's go to the mattress. We going to sell drugs anyway. We going to get all the Atlanta crews. The Atlanta crews not fucking with you.
I want to read you a quote. It's the quote that they put up in the front of the episode. This time from my man Southwest T. Despite what everyone believed, there was enough money to go around. And if everyone worked together, instead of being crabs in a bucket, there'd be less bodies. Crabs in a bucket pull people down, right? When you get up, we pull you back down. If I gotta be in this bucket, you gotta be in this bucket too, right? Meech, Terry, Remy Ransom, all these niggas that are at the top of their crews, right? That's selling all these drugs and making all this money. Henry, all these different niggas that's at the top. Y'all already out the bucket. Y'all putting niggas in the bucket. Y'all are creating addicts, my nigga. And then y'all are fucking helping their addiction by y'all stomping on the bucket. Y'all kicking niggas back down. Y'all niggas are not noble, bro. And this whole thought that you can have nobility when you have destruction is fucking insane to me, bro. Y'all are destroying the neighborhood. Yo, that shootout from last week, the fucking Techwood shootout, y'all been doing this, but with crack, though, not with bullets.
You know what's interesting?
Fucking weirdos.
What? They make the Red Dogs like they the bad guys. Them niggas are the good guys.
Bro, we just trying to be, just clean up the streets.
Because guess what? Look what y'all doing here.
Yeah.
It's 92, 93. We know what crack do.
Mm-hmm.
This shit been cracking for like 6 years now, right?
Yeah.
I'm fucking y'all up, dog.
Yeah.
Because ain't nothing that you doing good and all y'all are in the game. If you was a civilian, leave these people alone.
Yeah.
If you're not civilian, we don't give a fuck if we fucked you up. You can get your head bust. We not following the rules because y'all not following the rules. So to cry, like, it be so wild to me how some niggas subtly know they fucking rights. Nigga, you can't do that to me, bitch. You can't sell drugs. You can't kill, motherfucker. But, nigga, I got 72. Like, what?
Bro, you know what the Red Dog told little homie that got killed? Hey, man, don't fuck with these weirdos, these lames. These niggas is losers. Go to fucking school, man. Who the little nigga listen to? Remy Ransom, nigga. And what that got him? Smoked right in his doorway in front of his daddy, who couldn't act neither. You killed my son. Ah, y'all niggas is terrible. Yo, bro, real life. The idea that drug dealers are good people
comes from movies.
It's fucking insane, bro.
It comes from
entertainment.
And the fact that, so growing up, these two drug dealers that stayed down the street from my grandma's house.
Mm-hmm.
Twins. Nice cars. The Azuki boys, Suzuki's.
Yeah.
Back in the day, big and little. I wonder where they at now. But they was twins. And I guess they grew up over there. I mean, I was a kid.
Okay.
But, like, I guess the neighborhood knew them, and they kept the streets.
Okay.
Relatively safe. Back in this Zone 8 shit, you know. I remember at Jameson, school's no longer there, but we found out that there was going to be a shootout on the playground.
Yeah.
Everybody got out. I don't know who told us, but we got out of school. Everybody got to get the fuck on. Next day we come, bullet holes in the doors and shit like that. And the kids fuck with them because they will pull up to the school and on the playground across the, they'll throw bags of chips and shit, like big boxes of Better Made and shit over the fence, and all the kids would go over there and pick up shit, blah, blah, blah. Nigga, they was recruiting.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, they cool. Look at that car. Look at the jewelry. Oh, they give us candy. They giving us chips and shit. When we was kids, nigga, everybody knew big and little.
Yeah.
It was like, it was cool.
Yeah.
But it ain't never been cool.
It ain't cool.
Niggas out there targeting and recruiting.
Yeah.
Then one of the homies, well, not homies, well, I guess we was a homie, but niggas got shot in the stomach.
Yeah.
As a safety. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the second grade. Why do I know it's a kid at my school who got shot in the stomach on the corner that I walk past and sit on?
Every day.
That I used to be a safety on.
Yeah.
Well, my brother and my cousin was a safety. But, like, that's crazy.
Bro.
It's never, they never been noble.
One thing I always appreciate about my pops, literally, I have appreciated this since I was old enough to understand. My pops has never said he didn't deserve to go to prison. He never led with that. Like, yo, they had me fucked up. Them niggas was on my... That nigga always was like, yeah, nigga, I was out here. I was bad. I was doing wild shit. I got caught.
Only certain niggas, like, fictional character. Weebay ain't fight.
Come on, man.
And I know what the fuck I'm doing out here. It's time to go.
Bro, if I get arrested for committing a crime, it's not the cops' fault. Like, nigga, I broke the law knowingly. And was continuing to do it because it got me a lot of fucking money and afforded me some things. Because here's the thing. They keep throwing, and we know that Meech and Terry brought this up a lot in real life. Yo, man, we was poor. We had holes in our shoes walking to school. We shared clothes. We did all this shit. Cool.
So did the rest of your fucking neighborhood.
So did the rest of the Metro Detroit, like Southwest Michigan. Like, there was a lot of motherfuckers with holes in their shoes and no money and barely eating and sharing clothes. And your little brother had to wear the big brother clothes, but the big brother clothes didn't fit the little brother because he grew up to be bigger than the little brother. It was a lot of that going on. This is not new, and it's not special to BMF. So it damn sure ain't special to fucking Remy Ransom. It ain't special to Claude. It ain't special to Henry. Yo, you see that shit they tried to do with Henry and her pops having that combo at the fucking little function? And she like, you don't understand me. And it's like, I know y'all ain't sitting up here trying to make this character redeemable. I know you're not trying to give her a quality that I can be like, yo, man, that shit with her pops is sad, man. He don't get her.
If only he accepted her.
Oh, man.
She wouldn't have been, fuck out of here, nigga.
Fam, that nigga said, yo, stop this shit with Terry. And then she said, yo, go kill that nigga that Terry was looking at. What? Like, that is not... You're not listening, Henry. This is not about your pops not understanding you or accepting you for who you are. Like, I'm just trying to be me.
Listen.
This is terrible.
If Henry does not die...
This season.
I'm not fucking with the season 4.
This season. It has to happen this season. She cannot... Here's the thing. When y'all carried Lamar over into season 2, y'all did what I hate when people do. Y'all had a character that was, like, so interesting. The streets loved it. The internet, everybody fucked with this character. And then y'all turned the volume up on the character for no reason and made him, like, wild out.
Everybody can't be Steve Urkel, my nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Steve was not a main character.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a a one-off.
Yep.
Oh, shit, that kind of worked. Mm-hmm. You'll bring it back next week.
Turn the volume up. But even with Steve Urkel, they turned about, like, them latter seasons of Family Matters, y'all was ODing.
My nigga can't do the voice no more, dog.
Bro, he's an adult.
What y'all should have, in my opinion, what y'all should have done.
Let him be Stefan.
Well, say the machine broke, and now you a version of Stefan.
Yeah.
Who looks like him. Talks like him, but still act like Steve.
Yeah.
Like, let him just be.
Yeah, and now, hey, now and again. You kind of pop in the...
Or let him just, like, be himself, but still be a nerd.
Yeah.
But he ain't got to look like that. Like, all that weird shit. Yeah,
it don't work when you're 23. Like, sorry, bro. Like, the shirts used to look cool. Now it just look like you ordering a small shirt, nigga. Like, yeah. But they did that with Lamar. They cannot do that with Henry, bro. Henry has... And, yo, I know that the stars and the BMF people... They read the shit on Twitter. They read the Nobody likes this character. There's nobody. There is a very large majority of people online saying this is the absolute most unnecessary character in the history of anything I've ever watched. Get her out of here. So y'all got to listen, bro. If the character does not go somewhere, dead, prison, something, got to end it this season, dog.
BMF is getting wrapped up next season, my nigga. Season 4?
No, they early renewed season 5.
No, that was
no, BMF got. Oh no, no, no! You're right. They announced season 4 ahead of season 3. You're right. You're right.
It's wrapped after this one. Because why are we gonna spend more money?
Hold on. Let me see.
Now, what you call it? Got season 5?
Yeah.
Kanan.
Raising Kanan got the double announcement. Moving along. Get off the Henry and the Remy Ransom shit for a minute. It might not sound like it up to this point, but Maisha was absolutely my most hated character of this episode. This motherfucker has zero compassion, dog. None. T woke up from a bad dream where she got shot in the back, and Lord knows I was happy when I saw her get shot, even though I knew it was going to be a dream. T woke up. Oh, shit, Maisha, no. She like, Terry, what the fuck? Bitch, motherfucker, I just had a dream you got killed. I was sad. I was hurt. I was shot. And
then 2 minutes later, you know you can come to me with anything.
Apparently not.
Not Terrence.
You ever had a bad dream around your chick? Or like talked in your sleep or some shit? Like just had like a wild, like you ain't sleep quietly with her.
No, but I did wake up and swing a pillow at her one time.
Cause man. Did that on purpose.
No, but like when you wake and like somebody there, I'm like, ah! Cause like, fuck you doing? Like,
I'm asleep.
I'm in attack mode. We know that my fight or flight is fight. Okay. Yo,
like, for no reason. Like, to this day, I think she did that shit on. Shorty, like, 2 months ago, hit me so hard in her sleep, dog. Like, but it was, like, square in the eye, though. I was like, yeah, you did that on prayer. Your eye was open, nigga. She, like, aimed it a little bit. Because I got in the bed. I came to bed late. She was already asleep. I laid down. And I'm like, all right, she's asleep. If she don't move when I lay down, I'm like, she out yeah. Right? So I'm going to go to sleep. I ain't going to, you know, kiss her. None. I'm going to just lay down. I might sneak one on the cheek or the forehead or something, but I'm going to lay down. She out. Bro, I lay down. She ain't move. And then I get in position, and all of a sudden, bah, nigga, I was like, what was that?
You had a dish in the sink.
Look.
You left a dish in the sink last night.
She hate that shit. She hate that shit. I'm like, how did you know? I'm like, it was one dish. It was a spoon. I can't run the dishwasher for a spoon. Oh, shit. She punched shit out me, dog. That shit is wild. Because your lady would get one off and say she was asleep. Anyway, Terry trying to sleep. He have a bad dream. Maisha get shot. Did you think she actually got shot?
At first, I was like, what the fuck is going on? But they made her wake up so early.
Yeah, they went too. Because there was a split second where I said, yo, what the fuck?
I'm like, how many times this bitch is going to get shot? Like, god damn. And where her bullet wounds at? And why is she fine already?
Where is Boom? Where did the kids go? They still believe you recovering? The kids just at her fucking mama house, like, yo, we miss mommy. Yeah. Did you see when girls was posting, you can't be that girl if you not that mom? Did you catch that? It was like a thing that was going on.
You know I hate most of the shit that y'all do.
And it said, you can't be that girl if you not that mom's. One of my homeboy, his baby mom, I don't know his baby mom like that, but I know he has the kids. So she posted that, and I start typing like, you don't have that kid. But I didn't send it.
It's 3 p.m. Do you know where your kid's at?
I was ready to type like, you don't have that kid. I ain't send it though, but I thought it was funny. Sometimes I just have to type shit out so I can like feel the shit come out my fingers, and then I leave it
most
alone.
Most of my tweets go in an iMessage.
Yeah.
I send it to a group thread or a group chat. But you know what? I think I'm going to start posting on Facebook more. Because I really be hating y'all niggas. But I don't ever post for some reason. Or if I post, I try to make it nice.
Yeah.
Politically correct.
Yeah.
But fuck y'all niggas, man.
I mean, you only get half a bar. Yo, Maisha said, yo, Terry, we could take a vacation, man. Hey, let's get away. Let's go and get a room on the other side of town. Terry was like, that sound cool and all, but you know, I got this baby on the way, so I got to get this shit situated first with my baby mom. She looked at that nigga like he said, bitch, I ain't never taking you nowhere.
That nigga say, listen, you know, she about to pop any day now. Come on, you know what man. I'm saying? As soon as I get this shit out the way with. And she like, she had attitude, bitch. The baby coming.
Fam, literally. Now, she was having contractions this morning. Like, it's happening, dog. Then they get to the fucking spot. Yo, bro, I hate this character. She number two behind Henry for me for most fucking unlikable, dog. They walk into his restaurant. He say, yo, you never even been here before. Problem number one. Bitch, support me, motherfucker. Come up to my shit.
Nigga, because my baby, I'm going to be here all the time.
Eating. You don't get breakfast? You talking about, it's cool. I just thought we was going somewhere nicer. Bitch, I will. Dog.
I mean, it's,
get out my house.
It ain't like I'm not loaded with money. And like, come we ain't on, never man. Been nowhere.
Like, this is not. You can eat a fucking mashed potato and pork chop. Like some fried pork chop. You can
fucking
eat,
restaurant.
Come on, bro. This is mine. I own this. And I got a fairly decent cook. And then I'm like, he talking about this oysters Rockefeller on the menu. I'm like, all right, Terry, what you serve here now, nigga? Oysters don't go with the rest of the shit that's on this menu, FYI. But I'm like, nigga. Then she like, oh, can I get some wine? Well, I had a liquor license. I guess I'll take a Coke. Now, I did say, Terry, go get a bottle of wine, dog. Like, oh, he ain't old enough to fucking buy a bottle of wine.
This nigga 17.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Like, you expect a 17-year-old, like, this nigga 17, dog.
She expecting so much game out of this nigga. Meanwhile, you're living in his house, and your kids aren't there. I bought the crib for you and me and the kids. Your kids is not there, and neither am I. You kicked all three of us out.
Ain't it wild bringing a 17-year-old kid around your children?
Yeah. Yeah. He they big bro.
That's crazy.
Yo, I seen my nigga do this. Almost called him out, but, like, I had a real attitude, so it was not a joke behind it. And that's why I ain't say it online, because had he responded, he would have thought it was for games. Don't call a nigga younger than you unk. My nigga did that, dog. He called this young nigga unk on socials and was like dead ass serious. And I ain't like that. That made me feel weird. Cause like this nigga 40. And dog he called unk might be 30. Maybe. It's a gap. It's weird shit.
I'm not your unk.
Period.
Now, I'm like, I love my family. And I don't put the fake cousin tag on niggas. Mm-hmm. I ain't never called a nigga unk who wasn't my actual uncle. I've never called a woman who is not my auntie.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with them titles.
Yeah.
I ain't your unk. We not like that.
At all. Just relax on the weirdo shit, man.
We not like that, my nigga. You want to address me in your sentence with sir.
Yeah. Anywho. Yo, then Maisha turned that nigga phone off. What the fuck?
And pager.
Come on, dog.
After I told you, I'm
literally expecting that my baby mom going into labor at any moment. And because you, what did you think was going to happen? Like, yo, I'm going to turn this nigga shit off and he never going to know that his pager and phone was off. You thought I wouldn't have known if I did one or the other? Like, I never would have caught that.
You also fuck with my shit. Like, so what if Meech in town and he in a shootout?
Oh, then she got mad at that. You didn't tell me you were going to Atlanta.
Because I don't work for you.
I don't live with you. You know who I tell? The person I live with. Hey, I'm not going to be here for a few days. I'm about to go out of town.
You want to be an accessory to all my murders?
Come on, man. Yes, please put her in fucking jail, dog. I hate that motherfucker.
Also, his baby mama, what's her name?
LaWanda.
Did you know I'm cheating? What are you talking about? Like, you know what time it is. You think I'm faithful?
Yo.
I'm 17 and I have millions of dollars.
Yo. Terry bought.
I've brought my ex. I bought my side girl to family dinner, nigga.
Terry bought Lala a house. She told him he couldn't live in it. Then he got his own apartment and brought LaWanda to live in it after CPS got on their ass. Like, nigga.
Does she live in his apartment?
Yeah.
Because
that's where they was at in that first scene.
I thought they was on the floor in that. Because, no, she gave birth.
No, she gave birth at his parents' crib.
Yeah.
But they was at his apartment in that beginning scene when she was having them contractions. And he was like, man, the five people. I've been to five funerals.
She spent the night.
That's wild.
Because why you at that? Why you over there and not?
Why is Lala in his house? I'm never getting over that, bro. Like, they started this season off on bullshit. You bought her a house and she told you get out. And you went and bought another apartment. Like, bro, make it make sense, man. Look, we got a couple voice notes. I want to see what some other folks might have thought about this episode. Cause I'm floored. I'm flabbergasted, yo. My man Kente, he back. We sent the bat signal out for Kente last week to make sure the wife hadn't put him down or nothing like that, man. You never know. You never know, man. Kente, man, I hope you and the missus doing well. Happy to hear from you as always, bro. Let's see what my dog got to say. Actually, let me make sure I'm on the Bluetooth. Connected. There we go. Kente, what up?
Jay, Ant, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Jay. Hey, Ant.
What up, family?
The missus is in the distance a little bit. We're working on a little project here, but I know we haven't checked in a while. We've been listening and we've been watching, but we've been about a week late, a week behind. So we finally got caught up, or relatively caught up. Man, I'm going to start in reverse order. I don't know if this would be considered what this critique is, if it's cinematography, if it's whatever, but that Donny Hathaway song playing at the end when Henrietta is lighting my man on fire is misplaced.
Right.
The song doesn't fit the action that's occurring. Like, the sentiments of the song and what she's doing, I've never seen that song placed in a show or a movie like this before, and typically when it's placed, it's placed. It's hard to miss with that one.
Bro.
That was Alicia Myers, I Want to Thank You?
No. At the end, they was playing Donny Hathaway, A Song for You.
Oh, okay.
When Henrietta was lighting dog on fire. Kente, I want to point something out right now while it's on my mind. I'm glad you brought that up, brother. Donny Hathaway might be my second or third favorite singer of all time. I love Donny Hathaway. That nigga's gotten me through some real shit. A Song for You is a beautiful song. It would have been perfectly placed last week when Bryant went to go see his son's dead body. Would have been perfect. Wouldn't have been no better place to put that. But instead, one of you fuck niggas down there at Stars said, yo, let's try to make this scene with Henrietta deep. And she gonna light this nigga on fire while Donny Hathaway sings a song for you.
They should have played Fire and Desire.
There's so many other songs they could have played. Y'all niggas, we just had a shout out to, I think that was Fox last week that said, yo, what's up with the music budget? Like, these niggas have had, you know, mad original songs being played on this shit because they not spending money on real songs. Then y'all finally spend some cheese to get the rights to an actual fucking song and y'all place it in the absolute worst place in history. Kente, I'm so with you, bro. I've never seen this song be a miss. This song is usually placed perfectly, and every time you place it, the moment that it's usually in, like, it fits, and it makes the emotion of the moment even more tangible. But this was an absolute terrible placement, and I'm glad I wasn't the only one who noticed that. Back to you, Kente.
But in this case, they missed it. And, you know, you all have been saying this for a couple of weeks with the preview of the lead up to this flamethrower that is going to be over the top. And I think it was just that. However, surprisingly, I've seen on social media some people like that scene. But that's beyond me, beyond my comprehension. I see that the operation is expanding. You know, we heard Meech reference going to St. Louis. And from what we know of the real-life BMF story, that was one of their many locations. And I think it happened in this order: Detroit, Atlanta, St. Louis. So I thought that was a pretty good play. Another subtlety that probably only Detroiters would notice. So my man in that one scene when he had a Wayne State hoodie, that is a Wayne State logo from yesterday.
Yeah, I caught that.
From the 90s. That's a Wayne State logo from today. Like, they probably just pressed that mug up. But so that's a little subtlety that probably only stands out to people who know. I know they could have found a more throwback Wayne State garment. But, you know, there's a few things fashion-wise and wardrobe-wise has been inconsistent with the show. I think I've pointed those out before, man. But that's just, again, you know, inside Detroit stuff. What else? Anything?
So I'm so I agree with everything that my husband just said. I'm curious now.
That's right. You better agree with
your husband. We're just gonna wrap the voice up right now. You gotta agree with everything your husband said. And then that's just how it is. You feel
you
me?
Better head. I'm talking shit. All right, hold up.
To see how things are gonna turn out with Meech, since they're on to him now in Atlanta, and then how things are gonna turn out between him and Angel now that they are on opposite sides. So, you know, I think that she's probably gonna be very hurt because she was very into him. And, you know, that's going to hurt him in the long run. So interested to see how that's going to turn out. And then I'm just ready for them to take Henry out. Like, she's over the top. She's too extra for me. And I just it's unbelievable. Everything that she does, like she that whole flame throwing scene to me was like she was the Terminator or something. And I just don't believe it. So, you know, I'm ready for that to happen. But overall, I think it was a pretty good episode. Charles and Lucille still going through their thing. And I think that might have hurt Charles. So he might start going in the other direction, too. So we'll see what happens on the next episode.
Lucille got a lot of nerve. Lucille has a lot of nerve.
Lucille don't give a damn.
I think it's something to this doctor. And, you know, if this were not based on a true story or loosely based on a true story, I would say that the doctor is shaping up to have some sort of villain-like characteristic. You know, I kind of see that brewing. But I don't know. I don't know, man. Given the arc of this story, probably not. But I just don't see his purpose for the role he plays. I mean, I know what his motives are, but I don't know. I think it's a little more to it. We'll see how it plays out. That's all we got this week. We're going to send this off. Hopefully it makes it to y'all in time. And we look forward to listening to your analysis as well as the other voice notes, man. Y'all take care.
Peace, family.
Have a good week.
Peace, family. Yo, shout us out from the background, yo.
They kind of just touched on pause. What I said earlier is there's not a lot of drug selling. They sell about as much drugs as Tommy and them did. Well, no, I take that back.
Nah, Tommy and them sold dope early.
Yeah, but like, you're not selling drugs, right? You're not telling me much about anything. Like, y'all trying to make it character driven.
Mm-hmm. With Meech, some uninteresting characters.
And that y'all trying to make it seem like Meech is the smart one, but y'all do a really, really bad job at that.
Yeah.
It's like lazy to how y'all do it. Yeah. It's left to infer, oh, Meech has some intelligence somewhere.
Yeah.
You make Terry look weak, docile.
At every turn.
Not a beta. He a beta in every situation.
Yeah.
Listen, your parents push you around. Meech push you around. Your baby mama push you around. Your baby's mama push you around.
Yeah.
Your girl pushes you around. Fucking Henry pushes you around. Bryant pushes you around. Like, there is nobody.
Yeah.
That and you the boss.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the fucking plug pushes you around.
Come on.
Like, you don't do that. And now, so y'all trying to make it character driven. I was cool with the Lucille story at first.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. There's a love interest or whatever. You can imply it, but I say, nah, it's going on too long.
Yeah.
It's going on too long. Y'all bringing it in.
And it's gotten too personal.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I get it. You know, Charles, he fighting for his love. And not like in the heart of hearts, at me being a man.
Yeah.
If I'm dealing with somebody who is actively married.
Yeah.
And they're active, like living in the same house together.
I'm not going to like you, fam.
And you bring me into your actual home with your fam. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, how can I respect you? Because you would do this to me,
fam. Let's talk about the fucking underlying issue that I have with this nigga Morris Chestnut, bro. My nigga, stop talking to me about what we did in high school, bro.
We old as fuck.
You sound like a fucking loser, nigga. You a whole doctor.
Meech like 21 years old.
Come on, bro.
Meech is graduated high school, okay? Well, he would have graduated high school, right? They like 2 or 3 years apart, right?
Yeah.
So if when this shit first started off, T was in the 10th grade.
Yeah.
So let's just say T is now 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. We'll just give him some time.
We'll give him some years.
Right, you 18, 19. That means Meech 20, 21. My nigga, high school been over with.
Come on, bro.
I don't like the conversation. Well, I won't say I don't like the conversation. The realest conversation, the quote-unquote realest acting, again, was from Nicole and her mom.
100.
When she was basically explaining, like, I'm not having sex. I'm not doing this. And she's basically like, look, don't end up like me.
Yeah.
So you just miserable. Now, she as a child.
She forcing her to take the birth control, practically, because I don't want you to ruin your life like I did.
So my life is, your life was ruined by me.
And my brothers.
And it's what's really fucked up is, I'm the youngest. Bitch, you did this the third time.
Mm-hmm.
So the third time is still ruining your life.
Yeah.
You should have learned from them.
Nah, she ain't learned shit at
why
the Wendy's.
Why ain't you get on birth control after your first one or after your second one? After the third one.
She apparently likes some sex because Charles ain't think nothing was wrong. In the bedroom, that's where he fucked up. I'm like, nigga, you pointed out that y'all whole little reconnect was sexual. Now she like, oh, shit, well.
And like all that whole passive aggressive, yeah, I'm going to let you exploit. No, bitch, we fucking in the house that we in. I'm not letting you go on a date.
Well, you know where he lost all his power? When he let her make him move into their sunroom. Once y'all start, even if you did that to keep the peace early, once y'all started back fucking, I'm sleeping in my bed. I'm not fucking you in my bed and then going to Terry bed. I don't know what kind of house you think we live in, but this ain't that house. Maybe it's the crack house, but it ain't that type of house.
Also, I just want to say, Charles still the breadwinner in this motherfucking house, this family.
Is he? Because what do we do for work? I don't see that nigga go nowhere now.
But what? It's your fault that y'all in this position.
Well, yeah. She didn't tell her nigga they was behind on the mortgage.
Remember, he kept bringing in them fucking payments and like, you pay all the bills. Why didn't you say something?
Like, I literally was handing you my checks. How could you not tell me we were behind on the mortgage? How did we get behind on the mortgage?
Also, Meech paid the mortgage off.
Yeah.
Why don't y'all got money?
So why y'all broke? Because this is all y'all paying DTE. That's it. Like, what's the issue? Nicole just cooked fried chicken and steak. She got money. Where y'all money at? Charles been patching walls for 3 seasons. What happened to the wall? Why do all the walls need patching? Y'all ain't hung TVs up in this motherfucker.
And
what is the issue?
You'd want to equate your life to being bad and over. Bitch, what you do after high school?
Went to Wendy's. Got a spicy chicken sandwich from Dave.
So you got a high school education and that's it. And you blaming Charles.
Got a high school education and a mushroom milk.
So apparently she got pregnant in high school or right after high school.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the last 22 years of your life, you ain't never want to do nothing else?
Mm-mm. Nah. Because if you work your way up, you could become manager.
Last week.
And here's the wild part.
Next week is the fries.
Next week is the fries. Like, come on.
I'm mopping floors, but next week is the fries.
Old girl told her, like, yo, you know, come down to the church, be my assistant pastor. I can't pay you enough for you to quit Wendy's, but, you know, maybe in the future. But for now, it'll be a couple extra dollars in your pocket. Where the extra, well, I know where the extra dollars went, to this new wig that you put on to go fuck with Dr. Nigga.
Yo, it's so wild.
He get a new wig?
It's so wild how someone is picking you to lead people spirituality and their and their faith.
Yeah.
Like that, the clergy person don't know shit about you.
Yeah.
And you about to lead they soul?
Well, like most people or most companies or organizations, I don't know nothing about you except for you brought us our largest donation ever. You brought us 10 grand from Dog. So come be my assistant pastor. Doesn't matter that you probably don't know the word well enough to cite. Doesn't matter that you probably don't understand this job well enough to do it. But you got us our largest donation ever. So clearly you know how to get some money. And, hey, rule number one at church, get some money. So they hired Lucille. But
that shit crazy.
It's crazy as hell.
And you, it would have seemed to me that you kind of your husband is fighting for this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in faith and in church and God and rules and regulations. You're mm-hmm. so upset that your kids were selling drugs. You want to do everything the right way. Well, fight for your relationship. Then you offered associate pastor position. It just seemed like maybe I should get my relationship back on track. But no.
Yeah.
You want to finger pop yourself and go on fucking dates. Yeah. You finger your propping yourself to the goddamn business card, the same fucking business card that your daughter grabbed to call that nigga with.
Yeah, that's nasty. Hey, Lucille, that's fucking nasty. Yo, I found your business card on my mama's nightstand. Oh, so you just leaving that on the nightstand like a dildo. It's a dildo card.
What's the deal, dog?
Hey, Lucille, what's the dildo?
This old damp car. Motherfucker frayed edges. Because numbers is...
Why is torn? Why?
And why didn't you call 911?
Nah, you got to call the doctor. Off you. Why was you in their room?
like in your brain, like, let me go find that nigga card. Call the fucking police. Like, you call the ambulance.
In our room looking for a business card that you didn't know I had that was moist. You was looking for a moist business card. That was that moissanite. Holy shit. Yo, fam, you know what that means, though. That means that Lucille has continued to jack off to this card. Like, Charles, you stopped it last week. Chuck fucked it up. But she brought that bitch right from under that pillow and got back to work soon as Chuck went. That's why he can't sleep in there, because she jacking off to the card every night. Yo, Lucille, why don't you just fuck the nigga? You jacking off to the card like it's a Playboy and you in fucking Sing Sing. Dog, you winning. He right there. Get the dick. Get the dick. Like, Lucille, do you want the dick or not? Because clearly you want the dick. Yo, he took her to dinner, right? They go to dinner. Whole meal get brought out. That nigga say, man, you know, I know you said you and Chuck was separating, but you still live there. And I just want to remind you that me and you still have a good time. I'm really trying to get you. I love you. All the memories we share. What memories do you share, dog? High school is 4 years, nigga, and you went to med school, so I'm sure you got out of there in four.
Them niggas went to prom together.
Come on. That nigga said, remember the motherfucking proms, man. Like, nigga.
So think about this. If y'all went to prom together, Lucille, you had this baby till after high school.
Yeah.
Because.
Yo, what if that's Meech dad?
That's crazy.
BMF's so wild, they would do that.
That's why he's so enterprising.
Yeah. He like, yo, man, Lucille, I really wanted to get back together to take care of my seed. I remember on prom night what we did. I know Meech my goddamn kid. But this nigga, they get the food at dinner and shit. Everything get brought out. And then this nigga say, yo, I remember you used to like to dance. And she was like, nigga, we got all this food. Like, we have a table of food. Why you want to fucking dance?
You ever been in a restaurant and people got up and started dancing?
Once. In Atlanta. It was, I didn't know it till I went, but it was a Friday night. And that was like the thing they did on Fridays.
Gotcha.
Like, they opened the floor up. And it was like, and I remember walking in there specifically because this was a spot I used to go to for happy hour. When I walked in and none of the tables that are normally there were in this one area, I was like, oh, that's weird. But I'm like, all right, whatever.
You ever been to that piano spot in Royal Oak?
Mm-hmm.
I've never been in
there. On the corner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
How is it in there?
Good for drinks. I ain't never.
It feel like,
again, somewhere like, else that I've never seen people just like dancing.
It feel like that's the place. I've never even been in there. Yeah. But it seemed like that's the place Dick was to get up and start dancing.
Yeah. It was. There's a lot of shit that's just awkward to me.
It's a lot of shit that I've only ever seen on television.
On TV?
That.
Yeah.
Did it happen in real life? Like, what is it? Art imitating life or life imitating art?
I feel like, though, back in the 90s and shit, like, because we've seen mad movies from that era, TV shows from that era, where motherfuckers might be at the restaurant and then might just go to the dance floor. Like, I don't know why every restaurant had a dance floor back in the 90s and shit, but, like, niggas went over there and danced. And dog came and, hey, he said, yo, Lucille, come dance with me, nigga.
But it always seemed like they was the only ones dancing because you're not supposed to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're definitely not supposed to dance before you eat your food. Everybody else was waiting to finish their food.
It seemed like, yo, I'm stepping out and we're doing something wild and crazy. Let's dance. Like, it's never like a floor of people are dancing and shit.
Lucille said, yo, this all this food looks so good, though. And that nigga said, shit, you saying I don't? Rewatch that shit. She did that Lil Wayne. She was like, ooh. Dog, I was crying at the crib when I seen her do that. Then as soon as they get to dancing, his pager go off. It's fucking Nicole. She paged him. And then he called her back. Because he like, oh, shit, I'm on call. Nigga, if you on call, you don't recognize that that's the Yo, run it back. We forgot to bring up. Why are you calling the house, nigga? What are you doing? Dog, you know my husband and I still live here. I don't care that I said we're separated and thinking about. Nigga, don't call my house phone, bro.
No, she just told him that we still live together.
Come on, man.
At dinner that night.
Come on. She told him at dinner?
Yeah, and then she was like, you know, we've had some good times. That's when he was like, well, we had some good times too.
Nigga, when I was 14, you dumb fuck. I hate this nigga.
It's like he's still living there.
Like, bro, that's a difficult
conversation to have.
Don't call my house phone.
So listen, you know, I dated a woman and we lived together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we decided to no longer be together. I don't know, 4 months after we signed another lease.
Okay.
That's
how I go.
Yeah, so. We stayed in the same home from like January, and then like maybe 5 months.
Okay.
And you know, it's kind of hard to date when you live with even somebody who would like understand.
It's not ideal.
They like, and that's the reason you start off on a quote unquote good foot, right? But, like, another person just not going for that type of shit.
Yeah.
Like, you live with, like, it's only so far that y'all can go because, like, at the end of the day, I don't want to get too involved because y'all live together.
Yeah.
And y'all might be back together. Though we wasn't and everything was on the up and up. But, like, that was an inhibited factor.
Facts.
And things not, like, progressing because initially, at least. Yeah. And it's like, I'm telling you the truth. Like,
what's wild is... Dog clearly got enough cheese that Lucille don't have to still be at home. Like, you could fully commit to this nigga in the way that he's saying he wants to do. Like, he want to be with you. I'm sure that nigga wouldn't mind putting you up.
He don't even live here.
Fam, he gave you 10 bands. Yeah, don't he live in Ohio or some shit?
Yeah, he just here on some rotation
nigga
shit.
Nigga gave you fucking 10 bands for a church that he only popped in on to help with they thing, and then he found out you was leading a fundraiser and said, oh, let me just write up a check real quick. Like, he could put you up. He could get you out of, let me take you out of that hell. Say bye to Chuck, wave hi to Chanel, nigga. Like, he could do that if he wanted to, but Lucille won't lean all the way in, bro. And I don't think he gonna go for too many more fucking dates and hangouts and little makeouts where she don't give up that snappy nappy dugout, nigga.
Also, you don't even know if you like this nigga,
bro.
Cause you, like, I don't know how you are, how y'all, nigga, he might look at you like, yo, we don't do that tacky shit you got. Oh, that's your favorite dress? Don't ever wear that shit.
Well, he already made her change that wig.
Like,
because she knew she needed a new wig before she went out with him again.
Don't ever wear that shit. Yo, go in the closet, get that red dress, and put on your high heels.
Like, he is an old Johnny Gill looking motherfucker, dog. But then, check this shit out. When you kicked it with somebody in high school, went to prom with him, dated him, whatever the fuck y'all did in high school, right? And now y'all deep into y'all 30s, right? Bro, nothing y'all did back then has any fucking impact on where y'all are currently.
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
If you still hold on to that.
You are a lame, and dog is a lame. And that's where, to Kente's point, he was saying, like, yo, I don't know if something's going to be up with the doctor nigga or not, but I ain't 100% sold that he just a regular nigga. This is where I'm telling you he not. Because ain't no doctor who made it out the hood and got his shit together and did all this. They not still pining after the girl from high school. Bro, you done been to college, med school, all the above. You around a bunch of nurses. You telling me you can't find no chicks except for the one that work at Wendy's who you dated 20 years ago? Like, come on, son. Like, this doctor nigga ain't that lame, dog. Or he is, and he really a creep on the low. And that's, it's something going on with him. How you felt about him delivering the baby, though?
I'm fucking him up. As soon as that baby, like, I'll be honest with you, I'm not fighting him. I'm like, Lucille, why the fuck you got this nigga in my house?
Fam, when Nicole paged him, he called back. I'ma give him the benefit of the doubt that he ain't recognized the number, even though he been calling that house phone, but fuck it. He called back. He found out it's Nicole. We heard her on the phone saying, yo, I'm Nicole Flannery. I found your card on my mom's nightstand. Got somebody here about to have a baby. I need some help. The natural response at that moment is call 911.
Call the 911.
Call 911.
Yeah.
Just call 911. We're going to come. Or no. We aren't. Lucille is going to come because she's going to. The date is over, right? Sir, you go home. This is no longer your place.
Do he deliver babies? Is that what he
do? We don't even know if he an OBGYN. We don't know what he do. We don't know what he do.
It wasn't no umbilical cord. It wasn't nothing.
Nah, because
no afterbirth. Like, it's just.
It was just a bloody baby that just popped out. She pumped 2 times and the baby was out, by the way. That was the smoothest birth I've ever seen.
You mad that Terry wasn't there when this is a surprise drop? Like, nigga, I wasn't there. Nigga, I was on my way.
Nah. She had to call the restaurant, though. Them phones was off. This all Maisha's fault.
My nigga, he turned the phone off 4 minutes before. Like, and that's,
yeah,
in real life, 30 seconds. But, yeah, like, 4 minutes?
And when I called him, it just was off. I don't care. Now when I call the restaurant. And then, why the cook hating? Why you telling, oh, he out front on a date? Like, no. He's cleaning up. He's helping.
Like, why would he say that?
He's in the front with Maisha right now. Yeah, the older one. Like, sir, you know what, cook? You fired. You're fucking.
Or he
could have
said, he here having dinner.
Yeah.
And that's what she was like, I know that's who you was with. He probably was like, oh, he up front having dinner.
Like, because why else would you be? Dog could have easily just been like, yo, he in the front, we breaking down for the night. It was late as shit.
Also, I'm not going nowhere. You have no leverage in this relationship. You in my house delivering a baby. You have no job. I take care of you and your mama, basically.
I mean, she's 17, so she ain't supposed to have her shit together.
What I'm saying is you can't direct me around this motherfucker. It's our second kid.
Boy, she about to take that nigga for anything he got.
Side note, what time has lapsed? Because she wasn't even pregnant. At least 10 months didn't pass.
Minimum. Yeah. Hey, man, we got another voice note. It's from the homie, man. She been sending in some fire-ass voice notes the last few weeks. So she wrote in the body of the email, that was an episode. I don't know if that's good or bad. We gonna see how the homie felt about it, though. Muse, what up?
What's up, Twig family? It's Muse.
Hold up. What does this sound? Moose, you gotta let us know what this echo, this reverb.
Moose got she got GarageBand up.
In the bathroom. She got GarageBand in the bathroom. All right, Moose, we gonna get through this voice note, but I'm letting you know early, the jokes is coming, dog.
I watched this episode Friday, but since then I've taken like maybe 200 milligrams of THC. So like,
That's her regular voice.
Yo.
She's so high that her voice.
We high now. She's so high, we high, dog. Yo, Moose going for rookie of the year, dog. Like, she's snapping. Y'all have nah, let me take that back. Because the homie hit us up high as fuck. He was smoking on the voice note, nigga.
He been down for years. He ain't no rookie.
Also that. All right, rookie of the year stats.
I'm going to try my best to be necessary. So, first off, that anticlimactic flame-throwing scene with Henrietta, they could have kept a lot of shit this season, but, like, I didn't even give a fuck about a dude who they flame-throwed on. Like, and then Lucille low-key pressuring Nicole to be, like, having sex. But, like, I get it. If you don't know when you're going to start having sex, you might as well just be on birth control just in case when it rolls around you're like, oh, I'm already prepared. But, like, also, Lucille, don't be weird about it. Nicole said she doesn't want to take birth control because she doesn't want to have sex. Like, don't be weird about it because you're out here busting it open for anybody with 10K. Like, come on now. What else is going on? But I guess Nicole did end up taking the birth control at the end of the episode, but that was of her own volition, made up her own mind. And then do with Lucille. What else happened this episode? Bryant. I don't know what happened with Bryant. I was really high this weekend, y'all. But yeah, BMF, those are my thoughts on BMF. That's all I can offer this episode. But can we talk about the J. Cole of it all? So I was a really big J. Cole fan in high school. And he had that song, Let Nas Down, where he was like, I can't believe I let Nas down. And I've always thought that was super corny because it's like, you probably don't like every single Nas song. Why does Nas have to like every single one of your songs? And then when Nas is like, I hate this song, you're like, man, let me make a song dedicated to how I disappointed this man. No homophobia, but bro, you gotta do all that. But also, yeah, I'm not surprised that he recanted his diss track to Kendrick Lamar, because yeah, he's a fucking punk. So that's all I have to say. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. Or yeah,
yo, Moose, I'm in love. This is a great pot. I mean, yo, this is a great note. We're gonna do the J. Cole shit on the Patreon.
Yeah, I hope you are subscribed to the Patreon. If you are not, please subscribe. It's a tier on there for you.
Yo, I might even drop that on the free boy so everybody can get
some Patreon love. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely going to go to the Patreon. I enjoyed Let Nas Down. The remix with Nas on it, amazing.
Tough. Off my favorite J. Cole album, Born Sinner. Yo, man. Moose, we're going to get into a lot of that shit.
My least favorite J. Cole album.
So wild, because like my least favorite is all the ones that Cole fans say is their favorites. I'd be like, yeah, no, I hated that one. Like, For Your Eyes Only, hated. KOD, it was cool. Thought it was kind of, I thought it was straight. It was straight.
KOD might be my favorite.
What's the Forest Hill Drive? I did not get it. I hate Forest Hill Drive. I fell asleep 42 times trying to listen to that goddamn album, dog. But more on J. Cole later.
You consistent with that number 42.
Hey.
In reference to sleeping on that particular album.
Bro, it's real. I tried that shit on a road trip, in the car, in the shower.
That was my favorite before KOD.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize that KOD was my favorite until like 2 years later when I was like still consistently playing
listening
it over and over. And I'll say
yo, man. Somebody asked me, yo, nigga, when the last time you listened to fucking Section 80? Bitch, Sunday. Literally. I just listened to it. Well, so suck my dick, bitch ass nigga.
I was in a car for 32 hours driving. I 100% listened to that
shit. Like, come on, dog. And it wasn't because of the beef. I just fucking wanted to hear Section 80.
Section 80 is a fucking amazing
love song. That goddamn album, man.
I mean, amazing fucking album.
Anyway, look, man, BMF, yo.
Yo, niggas be telling on themselves.
Facts.
When the last time you listened to some real hip hop? Like,
nigga, when did you fall in love with hip hop, motherfucker? Hey, man. BMF, I feel like there's one more thing. Oh,
Moose, I do feel old when you said J. Cole came out when you was in high school.
Yeah, that was a lot. Yikes. That was a lot. But if you can remember when you were in high school, keep in mind, about 10, 15 more years from now, a nigga might come back and be a doctor and try to date you and reference all the shit y'all did in high school, including listen to J. Cole. So, you know, he shit's
like,
looking up.
Remember when we was like, my bad?
You remember when we first heard Let Nas Down back in high school?
Remember when we heard a song called 7-Minute Drill and it wasn't even 7 minutes?
Like...
Yo, you know how excited I got? I'm like, a 7-minute? Then I heard
7-minute diss song.
That's not, but I'm glad he kind of did that because I was looking at comments the next morning.
Yeah.
Come on, nigga, release a 7-minute song. You ain't even listen to the song, dog.
You're lying. You're lying.
Niggas are, they take their takes from the comments and then add on to it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you thought the song was 7 minutes?
Nope.
You're
fucking lying.
And all the comments was like, yo, it's still time to delete this comment. Like, you know you can delete this shit, right?
Yo, there was something else that happened on this episode that Bryant, he ran through the fucking warehouse, knocking niggas out with the butt of the shotty, and then got in there and didn't see nobody. You thought you was gonna walk straight up on her and just shoot. First of all, let it go if you gonna let it go, bro. Your son dead. You don't got shit to live for. Like, what's the fucking issue? Shoot her in the chest and die.
Why y'all let him live?
They just beat that nigga up out of respect and then dropped him off in the parking lot.
Like, I'm not going to come back?
With his guns. All three. First of all, he came in that bitch strapped. Nigga, that nigga had.
Sawed off?
Two Glocks and a sawed off ready to rock.
He got fired officially? Yeah.
So he got officially fired. Then, did you peep how the captain nigga played Jen? That nigga was like, yo, man, are you finally going to tell us what the fuck is going on? What are you working on? We got a dead cop. And she was like, yo, man, Bryant was running some shit for this Henry person who I just found out wasn't a dude. It's a lady. And we trying to figure that out right now. That was the lead that me and her got before she got killed. And the captain was like, thank you for being honest. You suspended. Bitch, you know what, dog?
This motherfucker said that was like my sister. Met her 2 weeks ago, my nigga. Maybe the Asian community and sisterhood is different from the black community.
How long you gotta know your sister? You know what I'm saying? For her to be your sister.
10 years.
I wasn't mad at Jen, but now that they've already killed off the partner and she's suspended, I'm like, so what's her purpose now? Because she not gonna go rogue with this nigga Bryant. She won her job back at the end of this. Like, I was a good cop up until, you know, I kind of stretched the truth a little bit. But then I was finna tell the captain about Bryant. Like, I needed a warrant to go pick this nigga up. So I don't get Jen. I don't see her being, like, in the street.
Southfield police officer. She was out there on Evergreen and shit.
Yeah. She was outside. She was outside. She broke up the VFW fights back in the day.
That's crazy. My school was right across the street from there. When I went to NIT, it used to be right across the street. Mm-hmm. You know the fucking Chipotle that the nigga got shot over the guacamole is right across the street from the police station.
Yeah, that's the Chipotle that I go to once a week and have an attitude every day. Not saying I agree. I'm saying I understand. That is the worst. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's the absolute worst Chipotle in the world. I've written to corporate and asked, do they know about that Chipotle on Evergreen, dog? These niggas never have nothing. They register never work. It's always down. I've been in there and they've been like, up, register's down. You got to order your food online. And then when you get to the front, tell us what you had. What? And they've done that consistently. Like, that wasn't like a one time, like, oh, the fucking.
That shit happened to me at the Chipotle. Not me, at the Qdoba on Evergreen.
See, it's something about Evergreen, dog. I don't know, Southfield the hood now, man. That's the real problem.
It's a black community, 76% black.
And Detroit ain't. Well, it is, but it ain't a lot. It's way more black people in Southfield. When I was looking
to buy my house, I wanted to live like around some black people.
Yeah.
And some white people though.
Okay.
And some others.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted a little diverse. So I was trying to see like the percentage of black everywhere. I was like, damn, Southfield 76%.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of them in Southfield, man. It was the great Negro migration. We all left the city and went to the field. And boy, the field fucked up now. That starters fit right in Southfield.
All the Chaldeans used to stay in Southfield.
Mm-hmm.
They got the fuck on.
Because they seen y'all coming. The last thing I want to point out, flamethrower style.
You know what's the when Bryant stuck that superhero character?
Oh, on the casket, and then it didn't fly off.
Man, I was like, damn, man, that's fucked up. Because while that was going on, I'm like, man, that got to be tough. And he looked over across the street. I figured he was going over there. I didn't. They ruined this scene for me.
Damn, they ruined my nigga. First of all, they had Donny Hathaway in the tuck and didn't play it when a character that we liked and had an emotional attachment to died. That's problem number one. Problem number two, we had this funeral. It was a lady singing. It was supposed to be a sad moment. And then y'all had this nigga get angry and bulldoze over and push Terry in a grave.
Also, to Moo's point, we didn't give a fuck about the nigga that got caught on fire. I was like, yo, they really gonna do some shit to T. I thought like it's gonna be in the parking lot of T's restaurant or some shit.
I was hoping it was Markeisha.
Yeah. But like, damn, I think we called her Maisha earlier in the episode.
Oh, whatever. Maisha, Markeisha.
Cause you know, I don't even know these hoes in.
Y'all lucky we stopped calling her Lala. Like, it's a sign of respect. So didn't call her Markeisha though.
That was a waste.
But yo, your point.
That has been on the trailer for the series. The season.
You said, actually, before I get to this question, I want to point something out about that scene. Flamethrower style. Terry bought the crew tickets to a Pistons game, right? Got a couple young niggas who they said, yo, there are so many fucking errors that don't nobody catch. So in the scene with the two young niggas that are wearing the Wayne State shirts, right, who look like they go to Wayne State and who are in Detroit where Wayne State is located, Terry said, Hoop was like, yo, Terry, man, who the fuck is these niggas, man? And Terry was like, they go to school with Wanda Cousin. Or, I'm sorry, he ain't say Wanda Cousin, did he? I think he said, what was Cash Doll name on here? It's her cousin. The problem with it was her cousin go to fucking Clark in Atlanta and is down there with Meech. These niggas go to Wayne State. Problem number one.
But she's from here, though.
What's she? He said they go to school with her. I don't know. He might also say Wanda. I'm not here to be a stickler on shit like that. But nevertheless, in that scene, they count up money, they getting this cheese, and Terry say, yo, I got all y'all niggas something. I bought all of y'all some starters jackets and some Pistons tickets so y'all can go and have a ball, have a good time. Fast forward, when they in that parking lot, all the crew is leaving the game. Somebody mentions, you can see it if the captions is on. He says, yo, Pistons getting blown out, man. We about to get out of here early. And they all get in the car except this one nigga who just sitting on the hood of his car smoking. Everybody left. If we rolled that deep, I'm not by myself. Somebody was in the car with me, or I was in the car with somebody, right?
So you mean to tell me?
Oh, you're going where I'm going.
You mean to tell me? Because I missed that part.
No. You're going where I'm going.
She had the flamethrower at the Palace of Auburn Hills,
nigga. This
at
is
the Palace of Auburn Hills?
Fam, for you non-Michiganders who are listening to this podcast, there is zero, and I mean zero motherfucking way, that Henrietta stood in a parking lot at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Paid to get in the parking lot at the Palace of Auburn Hills during a Pistons game, because they said, man, we leaving early. So during the game, guess who in the parking lot? Other people and security, because the game's still happening right now. It's active.
Like 20,000 people.
Auburn Hills, you know how Jay just said, yo, Southfield 76% black. Detroit is like 99.9% black. Auburn Hills is white as fuck. It's so many non-blacks in Auburn Hills.
And there's no way to get away. You got one episode. You're going up 75.
So I live downtown. I'm going to use downtown Detroit as the reference point. Because I have easy access to 75. It's right there. I can get right on 75 and drive all the way to Auburn Hills. We're still talking at minimum, no traffic, 35 minutes. Pistons traffic, you're talking 50 to an hour. Like 50 minutes to an hour. Henry could not set this nigga on fire in that parking lot and leave Auburn Hills and get back safely to wherever the fuck she from.
Families walking to. It's a
fam. There, hold up. Nigga, there are police right there.
It's 93?
Yes.
2 years before Grant Hill?
Come on, son.
This what, like,
Isaiah Thomas on the floor. You think it ain't no cops in that parking lot? Come on, dog. And y'all think the, yo, stop playing with me, BMF. Stop playing, dog.
Yo, I did not know that's supposed to be the Palace.
That was the Palace. They were in the parking lot of the game that T sent them niggas to.
Why you put them in the nosebleeds?
Because, bitch, we ain't getting that much money.
You know how much $10,000 is?
Dog.
That nigga gave her 50K.
Dog.
$10,000 that time is 50K now.
That's some cheese.
That's some cheese. You got that bitch 50,000 and you ain't hit in 25 years. You might not have had it. You got it on prom.
I don't know 100% that the doctor hit back in high school. I think he just loved her. Yo, man. Lucille might got that snapper, dog. This nigga still won it.
I mean, Lucille was... She's looking right, yeah.
On a bite, yeah.
I mean, you feel me?
Yo, Chuck was on her so hard in the kitchen when she was cooking, dog. That nigga was finna break into that song again, nigga. Nicole say, oh, y'all getting back together? Lucille said, nah, baby, your daddy was just saying good morning. Well, bitch, fuck you too then. Damn.
That baby was like,
fuck you too, bitch. Call the cop.
I'm gonna kill you and this motherfucker.
Yo, BMF, we getting the fuck out of here. Y'all niggas did not have this flamethrower shit happen in Auburn Hills. Yo, I'm never buying this, dog.
What's a T-baby mama name?
Wanda.
Wanda was like, I didn't see it coming. It just happened so fast. That baby was like,
we didn't see it coming. Time just moved too fast.
That's what.
And now the baby's slipping.
That's what Lucille said to Nicole.
Yo,
dog. She was like, I ain't see it coming. It's coming. The condom was slipping too fast.
Terry say, yo, man, let me just hold the baby. Wanda start going off on that nigga. Doc say, oh, it's going to be okay, son. That nigga Chuck say, he ain't your son. Nigga, Chuck, swing on this nigga, dog.
The baby's out, so is you.
Fam.
Fuck out my house, my nigga.
Fam, she still needs to go to a hospital. Let's start
like,
there.
Like, look, the baby's out, so is you. The fuck out my house, I'm not going to say it twice. Take your date with you.
Dog.
Because this house in my name, and I paid the majority of the bills for it.
Up until.
You yeah. can get the fuck on, Lucille, because I get it. I fucked up.
Yeah.
I cheated.
But you're not finna have dog in here, bro.
Mm-mm. You are currently cheating.
At minimum.
With my permission. Weak ass nigga.
It was a way to do this. Because when Cheryl, when she was getting dressed and had her good wig on and shit, Chuck was like, oh, where you going? First of all, nigga, you know where she going. But he was like, where you going? And she was like, we grown. Ain't no need to lie. I'm going on a date with Reese. Stop calling this nigga Reese. His name is Maurice, motherfucker. Stop saying that shit. Don't nickname a nigga you... Bitch, you fucking him. Type of games are being played. Like, come on, dog. Chuck is losing bad right now. He was down 40. I don't know if he going up 50. I don't know. Because he down bad. Because now
We know they got divorced. So.
Well, yeah, we know that that happened. And we know that he moved down to Atlanta and got caught up in this fucking RICO. So, hey. Chuck lost in the end. But... yeah, man. She didn't do that flamethrower in Auburn. I'm never letting that go. I'm never, ever, ever letting that go. Y'all are fucking full of shit. She would have been under the jail in Auburn Hills, bro. Oakland County would have had her in the motherfucking penitentiary, dog. in Auburn Hills playing around with a damn flamethrower, man. And to the point that Moves brought up, we didn't give a shit about Dog She Set on Fire. I don't even know why he was looking at Terry weird. The fact that you couldn't just have Terry be in the room without looking at him weird, you know what? Kill that nigga, dog, because you making it hot, bro. Anyway, BMF, man, that's all we got. I know this was a pretty negative episode, but you know what? I review what you give me. And always keeping honest with my audience. Stars want a positive review, they're going to have to pay me. So, you know, till they do that, you know what I'm saying? That bag, nigga, that's all I had, man. We didn't see it coming. Part two, motherfuckers. Patreon subscribers, y'all up next. We got something good for y'all, man. J. Cole style, flamethrower style. Y'all know what it is. I'm Ant, that's J. This Week in Culture, episode 372. We out.